Happy New Year! 2017 is coming in with a bang. Big changes are happening around the world and hopefully inside the U.S. This show is going to explore those changes, where we were, where we are, and the direction in which we're headed, and the divergence between where we want to be and where we actually are. That's the stuff of this radio program, and that's the stuff of Cynthia's Midnight Oil. I've spent the entire weekend switching between sci-fi's marathon running of the Twilight Zone and the various college bowl and professional football games that are being played. And honestly, they both are great metaphors for the U.S. body politic. U.S. politics nowadays is like stepping into the Twilight Zone, bounding towards the outer limits, while the two Leviathans that are duking it out for power inside the zone are like the football teams climbing their way to the top. We don't know which team will show up on any given day for any given game, the one calling the plays to win, or the one calling the plays for the fix. After all, one thing has been made abundantly clear. The system is rigged. Make America great again, but for whom? For all of us? And the rest of the world? That's what we'll keep our eyes on Cynthia's Midnight Oil. Now, you've got to forgive me because, as you can probably tell, my voice is a little stuffy and my nose is a little runny because I seem to have been given a gift of sneezing, runny eyes, runny nose, red eyes, itchy eyes. I got that gift as well as all of the other gifts of seeing my lovely family and friends. In a quick news roundup, expect more destabilization in Turkey as the NATO linchpin appears to plot a more independent course since the seemingly U.S.-inspired coup against Turkey's President Erdogan. I use this cautionary language because no one really knows who organized that coup. And I say, appears to be plotting a more independent course because one week Erdogan is talking about Turkey joining the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, the anti-NATO Central Asian organization that mainly concerns itself with border security and terrorism. The Shanghai Cooperation Organization, the SCO, is about to admit both Pakistan and India. And this is a welcome move, as in late 2016, China and India almost came to blows at their contentious border, and Pakistan and India absolutely did. So anytime we can get nuclear powers, India, China, and Pakistan, all in the same room at the same time, that's a good thing for world peace. But Turkey's threat, as it were, to join the SCO, presumably over U.S. support for a Kurdish state on Turkey's borders, can't help but rattle the Americans who have learned very well how to use their tool of what is called radical Islam, but is actually a geostrategic tool that is used by the U.S. to achieve its policy objectives. This quote-unquote radical Islam is comprised of what are actually and more appropriately called U.S. mercenaries. The policy objective of the U.S. in this part of the world is the dissolution of the Sykes-Picot Treaty and the redrawing of state boundaries in West Asia. If Turkey utilizes its non-aligned options, this would definitely rattle the U.S. So to the extent that Turkey does actually go through with its threats to the U.S. to implement its own pivot to Asia instead of what has it has traditionally done, its pivot to Europe, everyone wants to be a European, right? Well, wrong. Turkey can expect more Operation Gladio-style destabilization to come. Meanwhile, the carnage in Chicago continues, despite having fewer residents than either Los Angeles or New York City. Chicago had more criminal homicides than both cities combined. This is a topic that is deserving of an entire show, because I think it stems from a total lack of self-love in our communities. But sometimes I don't know whether to just shake my head and just focus on foreign policy as I always do. But, you know, I just can't see this kind of wanton death and destruction and not be moved to say or at least add my 5 cents to it. And so I'm going to try to dive a little deeper into this situation. I believe that the problem is an issue that derives all the way back from the times of slavery and is so entrenched in every atom of U.S. society that it will definitely take more than a radio show to address it. But I guess I have to at least give it a try. At the same time, after a few splashy nominations of billionaires and generals, the Trump cabinet is coming together. While our responsibility is to examine each nominee and provide a critique that embodies the simple saying, I'm with them when they're right, and I'll tell them when they're wrong. The U.S. is in uncharted territory. People are talking about the decimation of the Democratic Party, but Trump is in the process of restructuring the Republican Party. The question is, will he restructure the old party that he fought against and that was complicit in the rigging of the U.S. political and economic system? Or will he seek to build a new party reflective of that movement that nominated him and elected him that he speaks of so often? Because that's two different things. That's two different parties. And the schism inside the Republican Party will become more evident when the old line Republicans in Congress, whom Trump ran against, confront what I will call the new Trump Republicans in cabinet, in policy proposals, or whoever manages to get elected with Trump's help. I was hoping that Trump would completely transform the Republican Party into one with his appointments that reflected that movement that he talked about on the campaign trail. So far, that hasn't happened. So, with that having been said, hello, Pacifica Radio Network. You are listening to Cynthia's Midnight Oil, heard on KPFK Safe Harbor, No Lies Radio, and WRFG, all Pacifica Network radio stations. Our audience is growing. That's because Cynthia's Midnight Oil is raw, uncut, community power for your eardrums. Cynthia's Midnight Oil is where I can tell you the truth, like this. Whoa, what an end to 2023. to 2016. Due to technical issues, I didn't produce a show for several weeks. I found a temporary fix, but I really do have to do something more permanent. So first of all, the old news. Trump won the election, and then Green Party nominee Dr. Jill Stein announced that she was going to demand a recount based on Russian interference. She actually wrote, I believe it was foreign, in her complaint, but everyone paying attention understood that this was the Hillary Clinton meme. She filed a recount only in the states that Trump won, that he wasn't supposed to win, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Now, I'll have lots to say about that later in the show if I have time. But suffice it to say that Dr. Stein's reckless behavior, clearly out of the Democratic Party playbook, split the Green Party that is comprised mostly of totally committed individuals who want a chance for real independent politics in the U.S. today. These totally independent individuals are going up against all the powers that be today. The media, Hollywood, shill politicians, TV pundits, all of them are showing themselves to be a part of the problem in the U.S. body politic and not a part of the solution. The stakes are so high that they are now exposing themselves, something they usually don't have to do, because they can get their puppets to speak for them, but not so this time. WikiLeaks has exposed a whole lot of them to those of us who have our eyes open. So Lady Lynn Forrester, the Rothschild, and George Soros have both been disrobed. We now see them as puppeteers, the pullers of the strings on the marionettes. Those who didn't see 15 years ago when I was trying to warn folks totally can see it now if their eyes are open. As far as I'm concerned now, there's no excuse for ignorance. The information is there for us to know. For my readers on Russia Today, I drew a straight line from former Labor Secretary Robert Reich to Lady Rothschild. This is information we need to know so that in the end, we know who's pulling whose strings and who even has strings. So with this information readily available, to what extent are the people of the U.S. complicit in the crimes of our government? I really have to discuss this on one show, because if we, the people, repeatedly vote for known war criminals, aren't we then complicit in their war crimes? Well, that's food for thought for another show, but I do want to develop this more in the future. Back to our show tonight. WikiLeaks exposed the utter collusion of the TV, radio, corporate, what I call the special interest press, cooperated and coordinated messaging with the Clinton campaign. It's funny to watch the media today decrying Trump's antagonistic attitude toward them while remembering how WikiLeaks completely disrobed them too. They orchestrated Hillary's plan to lift up Donald Trump as a Republican nominee so that she could have an easy time of it in the general election. All of them colluded and conspired with her to deny the voters of the U.S. the opportunity to cast an informed vote. The messages delivered to the U.S. voters were Hillary's messages. In essence, this corporate media, led by a specific 65 journalists named in Podesta emails and published by WikiLeaks, denied democracy to the people of the U.S. and the world. No matter how many Sunday morning news shows decry Trump's attitude toward the press, will we forget what was exposed by WikiLeaks? That's one point. And Trump called the media on their bias and fabulously went around them, appealing directly with the people, with Twitter. That's the second point. To be honest, I cheered every time one of those prostitutes, as Paul Craig Roberts calls them, got told by Trump. It was the same set of partial players, as yet still robed and thus believed by the people, that denigrated me before the public, mainly because of my U.S. first, Israel and others next, focus for U.S. foreign and domestic policy. But this is only possible when the prostitutes either are or are beholden to Israel first or Zionists willing to bend the truth in order to obtain their policy objectives. Now that colluding, lying media have been disrobed and rendered totally impotent among a certain segment of the U.S. population, we now know that we don't need them to be informed. In fact, to listen to them is to be misinformed. And despite having his access to the internet cut by the embassy of Ecuador in the final days before the election, Julian Assange's WikiLeaks performed exactly as it was intended. And as someone who was punished for using WikiLeaks in my dissertation and had to scrub every mention of WikiLeaks from every page except my page of protest, which I placed as my preface, I rejoiced with every WikiLeaks disclosure. I rejoiced at every body blow that Trump delivered to the prostitutes, who, by their behavior, were betraying the loyal listening and believing audiences. It is no stretch to say that these prostitutes subverted democracy, and I'm not afraid to say it. Social media and the internet saved the republic from Hillary's band of war-hungry neocon, neoliberal globalists, as they are called now. Insiders used the WikiLeaks platform to bring down another set of insiders. This is big-time warfare going on inside the U.S. government. I said that the ultimate fight for this country would come down to these U.S. firsters taking a stand. And it seems that that time might have just come. It is these Israel firster warmongers, the neoliberals, the globalizers, that are using every trick in the book to nullify the Trump win and install Hillary in the White House. It makes me wonder, what are these people out there protesting for, to put Hillary in the White House? Now, you have to understand that all the attacks on the Electoral College voters was a part of the charade. It wasn't really to overturn the election that was done and sealed, but it was to show Trump just how powerful this bloc is at every stage of the process, and to teach him the lesson that he isn't even going to be able to find the bathroom without them. So now that the Electoral College showdown is over, Trump will have to face this group of Republicans and Democrats in the Congress just to get his cabinet picks into their offices, let alone talking about getting a legislative agenda passed into law. Imagine old line Democrats and the old line Republicans are united in their antipathy to Trump. Therefore, just because the election is over and everyone is looking forward to January 20th for inauguration, it doesn't mean that the fighting to control the government is over. No. The globalists, neocons, Zionists, international banking cartel, 1%, U.S. deep state, military, industrial, prison, congressional, banking, media complex, whatever you want to call them, that have infiltrated and penetrated and now thoroughly dominate the U.S. government are engaged in the fight for their political, economic, policy lives, and they know it. So sit back, enjoy your popcorn, watch as this particular aspect of the fight plays out, but always remember to do your part to throw a few tomatoes when you can to resist tyranny, no matter from where it comes. And it is in this spirit and in this space that I want us to try on new ideas, cross boundaries that have been used to serve others and not us, to see if we can create a new conventional wisdom. That is, as the French philosopher Jacques Rancière says, the true essence of real politics, when the unimportant, the unseen, the unheard, say no to the current order and create a new common sense, a new conventional wisdom, a new order of their own. The first step has been taken, and that is rejecting Hillary Clinton. This rejection of Hillary Clinton was immensely important. Now, the question is, can we the people build something new now that the process of tearing down the old has started? That is the hardest part, and that is our quest. The two dominant corporate political parties need regime change, not face change. Therefore, I want you to consider this show as your liberated zone, where the shackles on your mind are the first to go. You might get shocked, maybe even outraged, but my hope is that you will not think about things in the same way, that you will have a disorienting dilemma that will cause you to completely rethink what you thought was conventional and what you consider to be wisdom. Remember, the great South African anti-apartheid leader Steve Biko said that the greatest weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed.
You need the leadership to come from the very pinnacle, from the very top. And if it doesn't, it's not going to happen. And that's not happening now. It's not happening now. People aren't getting together.
I think the big problem this country has is being politically correct.
We have to stop illegal immigration. We have to.
They love me, I love them. And I'll tell you something, if I get the nomination, I'll win the Latino vote. I will win it because I'm going to create jobs. Hillary Clinton is not going to be able to create jobs.
We don't win anymore. We lose to China. We lose to Mexico, both in trade and at the border. We lose to everybody.
I want to save the country. Our country's going to hell.
The American dream is dead. I will bring it back bigger and better and stronger than ever before. I am officially running for President of the United States, and we are going to make our country great again.
Bring back so much money and make our country so rich and great again. And I'm the only one that can do that.
This country right now owes $19 trillion, and they need somebody like me to straighten out that mess.
Strengthen our military and take care of our vets.
This is a movement, folks. This is not like even maybe about me. It's about common sense. It's about doing the right thing.
I think people are fed up with incompetent politicians that don't get things done. I'm telling you, I think they're fed up. But the silent majority is back, and we're going to take the country back.
Somebody should have told me it would be like this, be like this, be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Yeah. Life is a balance. You lose your grip, you can slip into an abyss. No doubt, you see these niggas tripping. Ego in charge of every move, he's a star. And we can't look away due to the days that he caught our hearts.
He's No Lies apart, Radio, a Pacifica it. Radio Just Network affiliate, rebroadcast my shows on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific time and again on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock Pacific time. I want to thank Alan Rees at No Lies Radio for giving me and his listeners this opportunity.
Yes, man, nobody with the balls to say something to contest them, so he grows out of control until the person that he truly was all along is starting to show. Damn, wonder what happened. Maybe it's my fault for idolizing niggas based off the words they be rapping. When come to find out, these niggas don't even write they shit.
Lord have mercy. I can truly say that I never, ever expected that a presidential nominee, or should I say, at this point, that a presidential nominee would be so bad, and by that I mean Hillary Clinton, that I or the country would be in this position where, you know, those of us with our eyes open are actually welcoming Donald Trump to the White House. I just cannot believe it. But here we are. And while Hillary continues to blame James Comey of the FBI for her stunning rejection at the polls, not her failed Libya policy that got one U.S. ambassador killed, not her literal theft of democracy from Haiti, not her destruction of democracy in Ukraine and near total destruction of the entire country of Syria, not even her theft of the Democratic primary from Bernie, not Yemen, not Ukraine, not her support of known pedophiles or her own trips to Orgy Island, not her threat of World War III against Russia, not her neocon cabinet in waiting, not even John and Tony Podesta's spirit cooking, whatever that is, but James Comey, a longtime Clinton ally, actually, who should be fired on the spot for failing to bring the Clinton-Bush crime syndicate to justice. But no one should be fooled into thinking that our job is done just because Hillary won't be moving into the White House. Trump didn't become a billionaire by remaining an angel. Trump didn't become a New York real estate mogul by not getting to know and cutting deals with the more unsavory types. Moreover, the CIA and the portion of the U.S. deep state that supports the Clinton neocon camp oppose Trump big time. The last time the CIA was against a president, the world was given a date with destiny. That date, November 22nd, 1963, the day that JFK was murdered. Many are calling what is brewing against the Trump presidency as the coup of 2016. All we can say is that we averted disaster and we're still not out of the woods just yet. The Republic is still not safe.
Mexico.
This is Cynthia McKinney, and you're listening to Cynthia's Midnight Oil on the Pacifica Radio Network.
Sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit. What makes you such a threat? We choose directly who we are.
Tonight, I want to cover a couple more year-end topics, And I know I'm running out of time already. But anyway, I hope to be able to get through all of this. One is the fallout from the Jill Stein recount. And two is the important role of citizen researchers now that we truly understand that the media are not going to tell us the truth and, in fact, are going to bend the truth to fit their political agendas. And so then that makes the role of citizen researchers really important. And one citizen researcher that I just happened to stumble upon is one who is looking at and trying to understand the whereabouts of Eric Braverman and his role at the Clinton Foundation. And of course, the very important role of WikiLeaks, not Russia, in not only the U.S. election, but also in just helping us to understand what kind of country we really live in now and who the players, who the deep state players really are. Okay, so first on the fallout from the Jill Stein recount, I think an unexpected consequence of Dr. Jill Stein's $7 million Democratic Party Hillary Clinton supported recount effort is the type of election corruption that really nobody focused on or nobody expected to find. And that was Hillary's plan to capture the presidency, relying on her presumed dominance in the Black community. So her vote total surged in heavy Black precincts. No one questioned those numbers until Dr. Stein's recounts forced a second look at Detroit, Milwaukee, and threatened to do the same in Philadelphia. Dr. Stein's recount showed that Hillary didn't get the Black votes that all had assumed that she got, and it uncovered these irregularities. For example, 5 poll books are still missing in Detroit, while 95 poll books went missing for as many as 5 days in Detroit, and 37% of Detroit precincts tallied voter results higher than the actual number of voters who showed up at the polls. Massive Michigan poll worker error is what they attributed this discrepancy to, poll worker error discovered as a result of the Stein-Clinton-Soros recount effort. Hillary ended up losing votes in Michigan after 7 days of recounting in Wisconsin. Hillary lost over 50,000 votes, mostly centered in Milwaukee precinct. So here we see this phenomenon occur again. We were spared Hillary's election fraud results in Pennsylvania only because no judge would allow the Pennsylvania recount to proceed despite the Stein-Soros-Clinton shameless judge shopping in that state. So all in all, besides dividing the Green Party, I think the Stein-Soros-Clinton recount episode uncovered one way the Clinton election fraud machine pumped up its numbers based on the presumption that Hillary could take the states based on the dysfunction of Black voters overwhelmingly and uncritically voting for the Democratic nominee, no matter how bad that nominee might be. What Hillary's election fraud model did not consider was that Blacks would choose to not vote at all, rather than making the choice between her and Trump. Meanwhile, not to be forgotten, the second topic I wanted to cover was the milestone that was approached very quietly, of course, as former Clinton Foundation CEO Eric Braverman, who had been quote unquote missing for almost 2 months, presumably also missed spending Hanukkah and the New Year with his family. Eric Braverman brought in to the Clinton Foundation by Chelsea, ostensibly to clean up the foundation's swamp of dead bodies filled with pedophiles, crooks, gangsters, political opportunists, and that sort, must have stepped on a landmine laid by the Clinton loyalists and eventually resigned only after his contract was extended to 2017. But after a series of Clinton campaign tragedies, Braverman disappeared. His last tweet is dated October 12th, and he hasn't been seen or heard from since the murder on the streets of Washington, D.C., of DNC staffer and suspected WikiLeaks DNC email source Seth Rich. WikiLeaks offered a $20,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of whoever responsible for Rich's murder. Julian Assange discussed Seth Rich's murder and even suggested that Rich was a source for WikiLeaks of the DNC emails linked during the 2016 presidential campaign. So now, what's the connection? Well, after Rich was murdered, Braverman, who certainly would have learned where the Clinton skeletons were buried, went missing and has not been seen since. Now, this story is so deep, so convoluted, so detailed, it would take me an entire hour just to expose one aspect of the research of this citizen internet researcher who stumbled on what he thinks Eric Braverman might have discovered as he was trying to audit the Clinton Foundation and straighten out its books. The Podesta emails exposed by WikiLeaks indicate that Braverman was suspected by Podesta himself of being the anonymous source that instructed a journalist to follow the money to find the real Hillary Clinton scandal. So, using the State Department, DNC, and Clinton Foundation emails, internet researchers are trying to figure out what exactly did Braverman learn after he followed the money that would make him disappear, assuming that he has disappeared. Well, he hasn't tweeted since October. So now you haven't heard a peep about this from the prostitute media. Many people don't even know that WikiLeaks issued a reward for information leading to the arrest of whoever it was that was responsible for the murder of Seth Rich, because the prostitute media is still telling you that it's Russia. It was Russia. Look at Russia. Look at Russia. Like I said, if you rely on the prostitute media for your information, then most likely you're misinformed. Basically, what this one internet researcher that I stumbled upon believes is that Braverman uncovered a nexus between Clinton brokered arms deals, regime change in Libya, and so Libya then becomes the template for Syria and other countries to be repeated over and over again, the establishment of a Clinton Foundation private army to accomplish these regime changes, and then sales from the stolen resources, as we saw with Iraq and Syria, the theft of the oil and then being sold by those U.S. mercenaries, and then a portion of that money laundered through HSBC and then funneled back to the Clintons by way of Clinton Foundation donations by the very principals who invested in Hillary's regime change scheme to start with. So now, what this researcher has found is a string of Clinton emails that have been exposed by WikiLeaks that link each action to the explanation that is given. And principal players include Petraeus, Soros, FBI's Comey, and a host of other very familiar faces. Doing this level of research exposes a PhD level on how to on corruption led by the Clintons and operated at the Clinton Foundation. Here is an installment in some research that is really, really interesting and causes me to want to do my own drilling down on these emails because I know they are a treasure trove of information.
Donald Trump has had a disastrous few weeks. If you look at the polls, he needs a miracle. In the American political lexicon, there's such a thing as the October surprise. The stuff that you're sitting on, is an October surprise in there? Do you even know what you're sitting on?
WikiLeaks never sits on material. Our whistleblowers go to significant efforts to get us material and often very significant risks. As a 27-year-old who works for the DNC, who was shot in the back, murdered just 2 weeks ago for unknown reasons as he was walking down the street in Washington. So
That was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it?
No, there's no finding. So
What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that our sources take risks and they become concerned to see things occurring like that.
But was he one of your sources then? I mean,
we don't comment on who our sources
but
are.
Why make the suggestion about a young guy being shot in the streets of Washington?
Because we have to understand how high the stakes are in the United States, and that our sources are, you know, our sources face serious risks. That's why they come to us, so we can protect their anonymity.
But it's quite something to suggest a murder. That's basically what you're doing.
Well, that others have suggested that. We are investigating to understand what happened in that situation with Seth Rich. I think it is a concerning situation. There's not a conclusion yet. We wouldn't be willing to state a conclusion, but we are concerned about it. And more importantly, a variety of WikiLeaks sources are concerned when that kind of thing happens.
This is Cynthia McKinney, and you're listening to Cynthia's Midnight Oil on the Pacifica Radio Network. Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Bringing the year to an end, Sheriff Joe Arpaio held his last press conference as an Arizona sheriff and gave somebody, I don't know who'll touch it, a Christmas present by exposing the results of two independent forensic investigations of the WhiteHouse.gov document posted by President Obama as his official birth certificate. As his parting shot, Arpaio announced that two forensic investigators on two different continents found that the WhiteHouse.gov document began as a PDF and was printed onto paper and then rescanned into a PDF. The original PDF itself was a composite of other documents, and the forensic analysis uncovered this. So there you have it. Before you know it, when you're having fun, you're out of time. There's a whole lot of worms up under those Clinton email rocks, and we need to turn every one of them over and expose that soil to some sunshine to make it healthy again. Okay, until next week, and oh, by the way, I guess it's time that I come clean with you. That opening sound that begins each Midnight Oil Show with the beeping and the clanking? Well, that's the automatic prison door closing, locking Hillary Clinton into her brand spanking new and well-deserved jail cell.
I'm mad, but I ain't stressing. True friends, one question.
You've been listening to Cynthia's Midnight Oil on the Pacifica Radio Network.
Better brown nose for some gold than I'd rather be a bum than a motherfucking bum. Oh, yeah.